say that you're wrong on this.
So I can record this?
Of course.
All right. Okay.
Now wait, just let me make my statement. You can record what I'm about to say.
Yeah, I started recording.
I'm not in a position right now to get into a discussion with you on this. I'm working on something else that to my wife and I is far more important than this. First of all, okay, you ready to record this?
I already started.
Okay. First of all, this issue of baptism of desire, baptism of blood, etc., is, in my considered opinion, is simply an attempt by Satan to divide traditional Catholics. Okay, it's already been decided by the church repeatedly over the years. Secondly, when we talk about baptism of blood, baptism of desire, we have to realize that we're using three words to describe the effect. Okay, there's only one sacrament of baptism, one only. There are not three baptisms, there's only one. Okay, that's a baptism with water. All right. The other two are called baptism of blood and baptism of desire because of what their effect can be only. Okay, it's by an example, if you want to use that term. I can't think of the exact word right now, but it has to do... The term has been used for centuries, baptism of blood, okay, to describe its effect, not what it is. Okay, baptism of water is the only sacrament that is. The other two aren't. Now... it's been repeatedly stated by doctors of the church that a belief in, quote, baptism, unquote, of blood and, quote, baptism, unquote, of desire are de fide. In other words, if you don't believe in their existence, then you're not a Catholic. Okay?
Well, can I respond?
If you may.
Okay, you had about 2 minutes, so. Well, first of all, it's only been stated by St. Alphonsus that baptism of desire is de fide. Furthermore, I'm speaking now, okay, and then you can respond. Do you believe that it's necessary to be born again? Well, before I get to that, what do you say about the doctors of the church who rejected baptism of desire, such as St. Gregory Nazianzen, and the majority of the early fathers who did not believe in baptism of desire?
Well, I don't know that you can say that, and I'm not competent at this point to argue with you either way. I haven't read it, so I don't know.
Well, that's just a fact. That's an easily demonstrated fact, and it's been quoted by many.
Well, that's an easily demonstrated fact as far as you're concerned, yes.
St. Gregory Nazianzen says that he cannot see desire. Okay, the baptism of desire. He says, baptism, desire taking place of baptism, I cannot see it. Okay, I can get the exact quote.
Fine.
The majority of the early fathers did not believe that catechumens could be saved without water baptism. That's why the early church...
Okay, may I respond to that?
Well, I'm not finished. That's why the early church forbade ecclesiastical burial for catechumens who died without baptism. So if you're going to say that baptism of desire is the teaching of the church based on the teaching of fathers or doctors, then... the church has contradicted itself because fathers and doctors because fathers and doctors have been on both sides of the issue. And so the teaching of a father or doctor is not binding. The dogmatic teachings of the church are what settles this issue. And they clearly prove that there's no room for baptism of desire.
Well, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. First of all, no person is ever declared a doctor of the church if anything that he has taught could possibly be understood as being heretical. Is that not so?
That is not correct.
I'm sorry, but I believe that is correct.
Let me ask you a question. Do you agree with St. Thomas Aquinas on the Immaculate Conception?
It depends on what you mean by that.
Was he correct?
When it came to certain issues having to do with biology and such, he was obviously wrong because he didn't have the medical knowledge we have today. But as far as his teachings go, I don't believe he ever taught anything that's heretical, not one thing.
He taught things that were wrong. That's just a fact.
Well, so does St. Augustine.
So does St. Alphonsus.
Well, sorry, they weren't doctrinal matters.
Of course they were.
No,
they were matters.
No, they weren't. No, they were only doctrinal matters because you say.
So, according to you, a father of the church or a doctor of the church cannot make an error.
According to me, you do not have the authority to say they don't.
Then you would agree with St. Thomas Aquinas when he says that Mary was not holy in her conception.
Of course not.
Then that's an error, St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yes, but that's. That's the way you understand it. I haven't read exactly what St. Thomas said or the following things he said about it.
I'll quote it for you.
Follow that thing.
Summa,
that's all right. Now look, here is the problem, the basic problem between me and you. You assume you have the authority to determine what the church teaches and its interpretation. I don't. I have not got that authority. No one, as a matter of fact, as far as I'm concerned, existing in the world today has that kind of authority. Therefore, when you call people like me heretics for not believing as you teach, you are wrong. You have not the authority to say such a thing.
No, you are asserting that the authority of the doctors of the church is infallible.
No, and I am asserting, sir, that you are not infallible.
That's irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant. No, it's not irrelevant because you are calling me up and asking me to debate you as if you and I have authority. Neither of us have authority in these matters.
Then why don't you submit to the Vatican II Church?
Obviously, because they're wrong.
No, but by what? Wait a second.
No, okay, this is typical of you.
No, you just spoke. Let me speak.
You're
going to let me respond?
I'm not, because I'm going to answer this thing about why I won't submit to the Vatican.
All right, I'll give you 2 minutes, and then I'll respond.
Any Catholic has the right to judge matters. He does not have a right to judge other people. And you constantly judge other people. You and your brother constantly call other people who do not believe as you do heretics. You have no authority to do so.
Okay, let me respond to that. So then, therefore, you would have to admit that you have no authority to call Benedict the 16th a heretic.
I didn't say that. Benedict the 16th teaches are heretical.
Is he a heretic?
Plainly.
Is he a heretic?
Besides, we're not talking about Benedict XVI. We're talking about you.
No, it's
you and me. Okay.
Your argument is pathetic.
I have no authority. You have no authority to call anybody a heretic.
Can I respond to that?
Most uncharitable.
Can I respond to that without you interrupting me?
No, you can't.
Okay. Well, then how can I debate you if you won't even let me respond?
Because I'm not interested in having debate.
Because you can't debate the issue because you don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not going to change your opinion because of what.
Because you don't know what you're talking about. That's obvious. You didn't even know.
I know at least as much about.
No, I know much more about this than you do.
No, you don't.
You don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is another example of your arrogance.
No, it's your arrogance. Okay, you said no one can call. Then let me speak.
You're more authoritative than I am. No, I'm sorry, sir. You are.
No, by your own logic, you would have to submit.
No,
you would have to submit to the Vatican II Church.
You are interpreting things as you see them, and you're wrong.
By your own, you're a heretic.